with regards to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Sahaba say that he is the only one in our rank who we would elevate to the privilege and refer to him as a nation despite being an individual. Allah referred to Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita. Ibrahim was one man in his person, but he was like what do the women say? You know, you say, how many children? Two. Oh, only two. Well, two is a handful. Ask me. Those are the things we hear. It might be two like that, but I have three. I'll tell you about three. So when it comes to submission, then the Quran said Ibrahim was a nation. Sahaba said, amongst us, if there was anyone like that, it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So anyway, these three youngsters and their friend, they accept Islam. وآمنت مع أبنائه الثلاثة أمهم هند وهو لا يعرف من أمر إيمانهم شيئا. And the youngsters speak to their mother and they take their mother on board and the mother also reads the kalima. The old man knows nothing. Every morning stands up, salutes his idol, worships his idol. The boys and the mother are on one side. They have all accepted Islam. Islam is an amazing thing, my brother. Wallah, the beauty of Islam when it enters the heart. Once with the grace of Allah, when I was in America, in California for Ramadan, we were invited to someone's place for iftar. After we completed the iftar, the brother told me, my sister studies here at Berkeley University in California, and she has a colleague of hers who is a very, very brilliant Hindu girl from a very staunch family, and she has embraced Iman for 2 years, but she has kept it as a secret because of the staunch nature of her family, and she will only reveal her Iman the day she graduates and moves abroad. And she's been observing the fast by eating iftar time only and not getting up for seri so that it remains a secret. Now look for a moment. This is a woman living in the heart of California, studying in one of the renowned institutions who excels academically but finds her deen and latches onto her deen. So anyway, the brother came. I sat down. The sister was there. Her friend was there. And she started asking me questions. You know, it's 2 years since I've accepted Iman. I can't dare break the news at home. Hell will break loose. I swear by Allah, when she started sharing her experiences, I started crying. And I said, really, sister, I doubt I can inspire you. You're motivating me more than I can tell you. I mean, your example is more for me to learn and heed and reflect than I can share with you. Now, with the grace of Allah, in Ramadan, the last 10 days, I was in Bolton. So there was a ladies' program that was arranged. After the program was over, they said there is a young, white, British sister that wants to read the kalima. So I said, that's fine, no problem. So we went down in the basement of the masjid. There were sisters, there were brothers there, and they came and we sat down. The sister said, you know, I have read and I'm quite happy and I want to embrace the faith, but I only have one concern. I said, what is it, sister? She said, I have a tattoo on my small toe. I have tried my level best to remove it. I cannot do it. Will Allah accept my iman? Allah be my witness, I cried. I said, oh my Lord, this is Iman. When it enters, look at this. This is a white British girl in the heart of Europe, embracing the faith, concerned of one tattoo on her toe. In contrast to that, once I was flying from Holland and I picked up the newspaper and I read an article. In fact, I cut that particular paper because I wanted to keep it. The misery of a man. So I said, it caught my eye, you know, misery of a man is obviously something you want to know what happened to this guy. So we avoid the mistake. Anyway, to surprise his wife for her birthday, he had her tattoo put on his back, which cost him 8,000 euros. And a day before her birthday, she eloped with another man. Now you keep it, you're in pain, you take it out, you're in pain. I said, Ya Allah, yeah, this woman is worried of a tattoo on her toe. Will my Allah accept my iman? And yeah, that man, you know, looking at it is painful because ane kem karu. How do I take out this woman from my back? She's literally on my back now. Allah's qasam, deen has the solution. Toward the world, people are searching for it. We are hoarding a formula of success. We are hoarding a formula of peace and serenity. We are latching onto these material things. The children embrace iman. The mother embraces iman. The mother wants to now engage. But it starts, where does the network operate from? From the young boy, Mus'ab ibn Umair. Where does the spark start off from? Where does the glow, the hidayat, the radiance, the brilliance commence from? It comes from the youngster, the youth, Mus'ab ibn Umair. So now the wife is worried about her husband. My sons have accepted Iman. I have accepted, and my husband is that orthodox, staunch, rigid. So the husband also calls his wife and he says, Ya Hindu, احذري أن يلتقي أولادك بهذا الرجل يعني مصعب بن عمير حتى نرى رأينا فيه. You know what, this young boy I see is making inroads and youth are flocking to him. Make sure our children don't come close to him. فقالت سمعا وطاعة. She said, you know what, على رأسي, I listen to you. You know, just on a lighter note, we spoke about the garment. They say the one good thing about this garment is the woman doesn't get offended if you don't take her directions. That's the one good thing of this garment. My good friend Hafiz Salim from Dundee mentioned that to me. It's not your khair. He says, that's the one good thing of this garment. We were going somewhere, so, you know, take a right, take a right. So he carries on straight. So he says, Maulana, you noticed something? I said, no. He said, one thing good about this woman. I said, shade with me. My wife with, his wife with. He says, this woman doesn't get offended. She politely reroutes you. Politely she reroutes you. No offense. Inshallah, maybe our sisters can also politely engage us. Be it as it may, the wife says, Sam'an wa ta'atan. Sam'an wa ta'atan. I salute you, my husband. I take your words to heart. Walakin hal laka an tasma' min ibnika Mu'adh ma yarwihi an hadha ar-rajul. Are you ready to give your son an attentive ear? He is set with this boy, Mus'ab ibn Umair, and he's memorized something. So the father gets hysterical and he says, وَهَلْ صَبَأَ مُعَاذٌ عَنْ دِينِ. You mean my son, he slipped out of my eyes and he has forsaken his faith and he has taken to the creed of this man. So the wife pacifies him, no. وَلَكِنَّهُ سَمِعَ شَيْئًا وَحَفِظَ مِمَّا يَقُولُ. He has committed to memory some of the sayings of this man. So just let's hear him out. So anyway, he calls his son and he says, okay, أسمعني شيئا مما يقوله هذا الرجل. Let me hear what this man has to say. But Quran, when you hear Quran, Tufail ibn Amr Dawsi said, I came to Mecca, people poisoned me against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much, حتى حشوت في أذني قطنا. I stuffed cotton wool in my ears that even if I pass by unwittingly, I don't want to hear his words. But my Lord had decreed hidayat, so when I walked by, I heard the Quran, I was taken away. So anyway, he comes before his father. His father says, like, read. He says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, ila akhir surah. By that time, this man's heart started trembling and there was a change. When Dhimad radiallahu anhu came to Mecca, he said, I sat down in a gathering, Abu Jahl on my right, Utbah on my left, Umayyah ibn Khalaf on in front of me. So Abu Jahl makes the remark and he says, هذا الرجل الذي صفح أحلامنا وأضل آباءنا وعاب آلهتنا. There's the man that has caused dissension, division, condemning our idols, always objecting against us. So Umayyah said, الرجل مجنون غير شك. Listen, the man is excused. والعياذ بالله. He is not sane. والعياذ بالله. Dhimad said, there was an urge in me when I heard this. وقعت في نفسي كلمته. فقمت من ذلك المجلس. I said, let me pursue the matter. Let's see the man, who he is and what's all these allegations. فلم أصادفه ذلك اليوم. I tried but I couldn't locate him. The next day I come to the haram, I find the man. I tap him, I said, يبن عبد المطلب, can I speak to you? The Prophet ﷺ said, yeah, speak to me. He said, listen, سمعت قومك يذكرون فيك خصالا سيئة. I'm sorry to hear about the nasty allegations leveled against you. But I have treated many people. فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَ عَالَجْتُكَ. If you're ready, I'm ready to engage you and treat you. And I will cure you, that's my word. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the answer of a Nabi. A Nabi doesn't become antagonistic. Read the Quran. When the nations came to the Prophet, and they said, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَا وَإِنَّا لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاظِبِينَ. Oh Hud, you are insane. Now if somebody comes and tells me you mad, go say it to your father. That is the attitude. What did the Nabi say? Ya qawm, laysa bi safaha. Ya qawm, laysa bi dalala. Listen folks, I'm not a terrorist. Listen folks, I'm not what I'm projected to be. But I'm but a messenger and an envoy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the teachings of the Quran. Instead of antagonizing the relation. The Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillahi ahmaduhu wa astaghinuhu man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla la. Cutting a long story short, when he heard this, he said, repeat those words, faqad balaghna qamus al-bahr. they have reached the depth of the oceans of eloquence. He says, give me your hand. He embraces the faith and his own nation accepts Iman. So anyway, when the son reads the Quran, the father is gripped, he's riveted. He said, أَوَكُلُّ كَلَامِهِ مِثْلُ هَذَا